Thank you for the ministry of music in your church. Sometimes I just have to stop. I can't make it through the song. You think of the depth, of what the Lord did for us sinners. Even the song, He holds the future and life is worth the living just because He lives. And that's so true. The Lord has burdened me to speak to you about suffering and persecution and tribulation and disenfranchisement. Disenfranchisement. The things that are happening in Ukraine are not just a news story for me. My mom and dad were born there. We're not Ukrainians. We were immigrants there from other persecutions. And dad told me he was born near Odessa. That's one of the cities that's not yet overrun, but Putin wants it because it's a port city. And if he can cut that off, then Ukraine has no way to the sea to ship their grain. And they feed Africa. Ukraine is a breadbasket of Europe. Recently, my neighbor, he was about 2 years younger than me. He farms thousands of acres today. I left the farm and went into missions. I did farm for a little while. Then I went into missions. There were three of us, him and then Vic. And Vic just went to Ukraine with his daughter. I lent him a book with the villages that had the names of the villages in that time era. The communists wanted to rewrite history, and so they changed all the names. So then you wouldn't be able to find where your dad had lived. But I gave this authentic book to him. And they went back and he said, you know what? The topsoil there is 10 feet thick. Not like in our garden. 10 feet. And you can go with your GPS for miles and miles with your tractor. Not like where I farm. There's gullies and hills and creeks and this and that. Spectacular farming there. My dad was born there about 100 years ago. 1917. It was World War I, and when the communists took over Russia, the Bolsheviks, and came into the villages, and sometimes the Red Army would come into the villages, and then they'd be beat back by the White Army, and so the battleground was our villages, back and forth, and they steal your horses. Well, that's like taking your tractor, your source of income, and things were terrible. One time, my mom, who also was born in Ukraine, said that Grandpa saw an injustice done to one of the peasants. And so the Russian communist was going to shoot that guy. And Grandpa went and he stood in between. And he said, if you're going to shoot him, you're going to shoot him through my body. And Grandpa stood his ground and saved the peasant's life. And Grandpa realized we got to get out of there to freedom. And so Grandma went to Moscow. It was a very dangerous trip. And she went to Moscow and got the tickets. It's a longer story, so I won't tell it. Came back, and they took Mom, who was 5, and Mom got out in 1927. Dad got out in 1925, almost 100 years ago to the day, right? We're 22 now. Well, in 25, he came out here to freedom. As I see our freedoms being eroded drastically, drastically in the West, how do I know? I'm like Frank. I like to be very aware of the times, like the sons of Issachar, discerning the times. And I don't have much time to do that, but I glean from others who do have that time and send me things. I was in the home of a church leader, and he gave me a copy of the Canadian Bill of Rights, part of which says, the right of the individual to life, liberty, security of the person, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly and association, freedom of the press. We are now being censored here. What we experienced in Russia, it's on our doorstep now, and we are being censored. You can't see this. You're being taken down. It doesn't matter how many degrees you are. Even the inventor of the mRNA vaccine, even him, got deplatformed. This was in 1960 by Prime Minister Diefenbaker, but that was the Canadian Bill of Rights. That was in 1960. And then I got this one, the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. I'll just read a tad here. Fundamental freedoms, everyone following the fundamental freedoms, freedom of conscience and religion, freedom of thought, belief, opinion, expression, including freedom of the press and other media of communication, then why are people being deplatformed in Canada? I'm not fooled. I can see right through this because of what my mom and dad told me happened there. It's far too much freedoms that you have for me to read them. But the crafter of this, remember, it was the 10 premiers and Prime Minister Pierre Elliott Trudeau. That's not that long ago. Our former chief on one of the reserves we lived at said, I ate at Trudeau's table. Gilbert Hamlin told me that. I ate at this guy's table. There's his signature. Anyways, I remember when I was farming, I'd come in to fix equipment at the garage, and I'd turn on my van radio and open the door, and I'd listen as they discussed these things. And one of those premiers was Brian Peckford. And that premier is still alive. You know, when you go to court, the judge has to decide between the plaintiff and the defendant who's right here. And that's one thing. And the second thing is, what was the intent of the law? Today, they don't have to figure out what did the crafter mean. They just need to pick up the phone and phone Brian Peckford. And they'll know instantaneously why they crafted it the way that they did and what it was meant to do. It is that straightforward. But even he now is suing the Canadian government for what they have done in the past 2 years. So that is the introduction for what I have here. Expect tribulation, persecution, suffering, and disenfranchisement. I looked for my book where there are many stories, about 3 pages each, in Russia. I have a whole book on that, and I couldn't find it this morning. I had brought it along, and there it speaks of, if you were a school teacher or a pastor, in other words, a person of influence, they wanted to disenfranchise you, either send you to Siberia, or like my own pastor's father, my pastor for 20 years, from age 5 to age 25, when I was 5 to 25, my pastor was Peter Penner, and he said his was one of those families where the Black Raven, the KGB, came in the night and take the dad, and you never see him again. So here he was, a young lad, had to be the father of the family now. No dad, again. For why? For standing for truth, for living the Bible way. Gone, just like that. So what does disenfranchised mean? I don't think I knew of that term until I read that book, but it's like the government says, we're going to disenfranchise you. In other words, you can't go work anywhere. You cannot get a job anywhere. And maybe I say, well, I can't work anywhere, so where will I sleep tonight? I'm kicked out of my house. Oh, maybe this guy would take me in. But if this guy takes me in, then he gets disenfranchised. It's really rough. It's like losing your citizenship's privileges. You are a citizen of Russia, but you couldn't have any of the privileges. And then what happens to your children? How do you feed your kids? Well, it didn't just happen in Russia. There were many times through the Bible that they experienced tribulation. And I was thinking of several of the verses in Scripture, and I'll read you maybe two of them. You don't have to turn here, but you can turn to Acts 12, which is where the sermon will be from. I'm just trying to think where that verse was. I should have written it down. Yes, it's in the Gospel of John. And I heard this from a native guy preaching up in the Shamble Lake. And the verse that he was preaching on that day was this one, and it's always stuck with me since. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It's like Frank said, it can be depressing, but the Lord says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Here it says, you shall have tribulation. That's in John. But in Acts it says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through not just tribulation, but much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We should not be surprised if this comes our way in a year or in a week or whenever. If it comes, we should expect it, because the Lord has these verses right here for our learning. These things are written for our learning. So let's just look at one of the incidents where it was like that, Acts chapter 12. And this is the story of where the early church was facing this. So Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, The king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. It was very intentional. Yesterday, I was with my grandson sitting right there, and his father, my son, wanted to get him to do something, and he didn't want what was here. He wanted something else, and he went like this. And there was no doubt as to what he wanted. And then a little later, and there was no doubt. He stretched forth his hand, right? And he didn't have to say a word. He doesn't talk yet. But I knew exactly what he wanted, eh? Herod, not the same one that was trying to kill baby Jesus. This is a different Herod, also evil, stretched forth his hand to vex the church. He wanted to do intentional evil, oppress, afflict, harm, maltreatment, render evil. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he wanted to do. And so he went, and it wasn't just intentional, it was intense. How intense was it? In verse 2, he killed James. Verse 2 says, and he killed James, the brother of John, with this. This is not a rifle. This is a sword. Excuse me. Now, I have never owned a sword before, not a real one. I've never even pulled one out. This is my first time. No, when he came up to James with the sword, where do you think James wanted the point to go? Where do you think he wanted him to slice? It's different than a bullet nowadays when we have to shoot a sick cow because it was sick. You just shooting the cows out of its misery instantly, doesn't even know it got hit. But with this, this is a terrible way to die. That's what happened to James. He was killed with a sword. And when he saw it pleased the people, I wonder if he took a poll. He saw it pleased the people. He said, oh, I'll take Peter next. Look at it. Verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 16 soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. He was going to do this to Peter too. Not right then. It's kind of like right now. We are a few days before Easter. He's going to wait through these days and then wait through the days of Easter and then get him. This was like an impossible situation, humanly speaking. 16-1? What are the odds of escape? Even if I had 1-1, I'd lose. I was the last guy I always picked on any ball team at school. So how would I fare at 1-1? I'd need a 0.5-1 or something. He had 16-1. And the Bible says that he had one soldier sleeping on this side and one soldier sleeping on this side. And he had a chain here and he had a chain here. And there were guards at the different wards and guards at the door and the iron gate was locked. What are the chances of escape? And you know what's going to happen right after Easter. It's your turn, Peter. Why should we think that we should have freedom in Canada forever, when through history, they endured great hardship? I wrote down, Joseph in the pit. Did he think he had any chance of getting out of the pit in Genesis 37? What about when he gets thrown in Pharaoh's dungeon and a few hours goes by and he says, Lord, I'm innocent. You know, I'm of righteous character. I did not touch that woman. Why am I here, Lord? And then a few days go by, and then a few weeks go by, and then a few months go by. Lord, where are you? I was serving you righteously. You probably are serving the Lord righteously. And if you face tribulation, disenfranchisement, persecution, suffering, don't let it throw you. Don't let it throw you if it should come to you. Years went by for Joseph, and then one of the prisoners remembered him that had gotten out. But what if he would have died there? He could have died there. Let's go to the second point. I only got 2 points today and no pictures. Expect tribulation because it's biblical. Exhibit trust in our great, 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 great God. What did the Bible characters do? They prayed. And the Bible says a bunch of things about their prayer life. It says, let me say, verse 5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but, here's the glorious but of Scripture, but prayer was made without ceasing. First, they prayed. Some people don't even pray. Second, they prayed without ceasing. It had to be over a number of days at prayer meeting. just praying and praying and praying, earnest prayer. If you jump to verse 12, it says there were many there. That's another one of these things. There was many there. And if you look further in verse 12, it says they were praying together. They were in the same place. They were, you could touch each other. You could hear each other. You could feel the emotion in their voices. It says a lot about prayer. If we, you can just stay there, but I'll just tell you what's in chapter 16, where not Peter was in prison, but this time Paul and Silas. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Most people, they just want to be sleeping at midnight. Forget prayer. Ah, they were praying. Different times now, I have to get up in the night to go to the washroom at my age. And I'm praying for Ukraine. Evelyn, when she was a teenager, had a Sunday school teacher when Evelyn was 13. That teacher is still alive. Evelyn's 60 already, but that teacher is still living. And she emails us a couple times a week with world affairs so we can be knowing the times that we're in. And she said, a pastor contacted me from Ukraine. And she said, the pastor said this, those people that you are in contact with in Alberta, tell them to keep on praying. We see the missiles coming and then they disappear before they hit us. An outright miracle, like Bible days. It reminds me of Israel in the Old Testament. Just an outright miracle. And she named a few more. And that encouraged me to pray. So when I wake up to go to the bathroom, I pray for Ukraine. I pray for the pastor of the church there. We need to pray for the pastors and pray for the believers. If I had time, I would give you the prayer request that a pastor gave. It was very pertinent, a very good way to pray. Maybe I'll give it to Frank afterwards and he can share them with you in a prayer meeting. Another thing, they were singing at midnight. And the Bible says the prisoners heard them. So it wasn't like this that they were trying to be quiet and muffle it. No, the prisoners heard it. Do those around you, do they hear you complaining or singing? We had two young people, two teens come and help us for 8 days with our move to Alberta. And they were singing as they're cleaning and singing as they're packing and singing. And then they helped load the trailer. And then we took them to Alberta and they helped unload there and help clean there. And they were singing. And we have an old organ yet from Evelyn's father. And we brought our own piano. Then they were doing duets. Couldn't believe it. Out in the bush. They're doing duets, singing and playing. It was really neat. The Bible says, don't count it strange when you encounter fiery trials. Peter wrote that in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. But commit the keeping of your soul to him. Hey? So when big trials come, and I don't know, can I take the pain? Commit the keeping of your soul. I don't have to keep this body. It's going to perish anyway. It's mortal. I'm going to lose it anyways. I'm already lost some of it. My teeth were gone in my 20s already. I have trifocals. My seat is broken. That's why I walk with one step at a time. This body is on its way out. So why put a lot of money into it? It's a goner, right? But God will give us a spiritual body when we see him. So just remember, commit the keeping of your soul to the Lord. Another one, trust. How do I know Peter was trusting? Look at verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, in other words, this is the day, like tomorrow morning, I'm going to take him out and give him the sword. That same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers were in front of the door keeping the prison. Peter's not there wringing his hands, restless, tossing to and fro. No, he's sleeping. That's trust. That's trust. And as we see freedom disappearing from our land, we don't need to fret. This world's not our home. I'm just a passing through. The angels beckon me somewhere beyond the blue. Hey, are we just passing through? Yeah. In Hebrews, the Bible says of Abraham, he was a pilgrim. Briarcrest Bible School had a motel on the Trans-Canada Highway called Pilgrim. What's a pilgrim? Somebody who's just passing through, stops for the night, and then keeps going. They're not planting trees there and making fences. No, they're just passing through, eh? That's what we are. We're just passing through here. Our home is in a city not made with hands. whose builder and maker is God. That's where our focus should be. The risen Lord Jesus Christ, not the dead Christ, the risen Christ. And I'm glad your church has risen in your motto there. I love that. He's risen and he is Lord, Lord of lords, King of kings. In fact, Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 verse 15, Jesus Christ, who is the blessed and holy potentate. I had to look up that word because I don't use that word. What is potentate? And I looked it up. It says of great authority. How great? He's going to be the one on the great white throne judgment. What he says goes. And there's no way that dominion machines can vote him out. There's no way that he will be deplatformed. He has all the evidence available. That's the one who will be there. The one with nail-pierced hands. And Peter is trusting that risen Lord. And so that's what enabled him to sleep at night. I know what's coming. My mom and dad lived with communists. We know what's coming. But it doesn't throw us. It doesn't throw us. Next one. Remember the sovereignty of our God. You know what? If he wants to, he can take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and put them in the fiery furnace, and they come out without even the smell of fire on their clothes or their hair. It's not singed. If I get too close, I hate that smell of stinking, burning hair from my hand. There'd be a few hairs gone there, hey? But with them was nothing. He can deliver, or he can say, no, I'm taking you home. So Stephen, in the book of Acts, it says he was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And what happened? He was martyred. Was he not living? Yeah, he's living totally right. He's a spirit-filled Christian, and he was martyred. So that leads me then to Philippians 1:20, where it says, whether by life or by death, Christ shall be magnified in my body. So I don't have to stay alive till I'm 95. I don't have to. If he wants me gone tonight, I can go. But if he wants me here another week or another year or another decade, that's okay too. He is the one who decides because he is sovereign. In Job, I was reading it. God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seem long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. And now it's based on that verse in Proverbs. And when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. He's sovereign. Does he want me here another day, another decade? Or will I be gone tonight in a car accident or whatever? He is the sovereign God. He is totally sovereign. So my blackboard is fixed here. It's not like the ones in Bible school, or I could keep going on over there. So the important part is the red part. The important part, number one, is to, in light of all this, make sure that we repent and believe. What is repentance? This was Jesus' first sermon. You can look it up. His first sermon was that people should repent and believe. Repenting is turning away from sin. It's agreeing with God that sin is wrong and it has violated God's holiness. I agree with God and how he views me. And I say, Lord, you're right, and I'll leave that. And believing is putting my trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever you say, whatever you have for me, suffering, disenfranchisement, whatever, it doesn't matter. But I will trust you through fire or flood or whatever. I trust you. Repent and believe. Become a believer. Become a Christian. Then spend much time in the Word. In the Word. In the Word of God. A lot of people do not spend much time with God. Some Christians don't even open the Bible each day. Some not at all in the morning. I can tell when I'm in different homes. I can tell, you just got up. I'm discipling a young guy He's about 21 or something. I could tell he hadn't read his Bible that morning. So I got a nice new Bible now, a study Bible. Very good. It's the Henry Morris Study Bible. Has lots of good helps in it. And I want to encourage him and phone him up and do Bible studies with him in that Bible. Spend time in the Word. Spend time, much time, in prayer. We can pray. Oh, by the way, oh yes, and memorize the Word of God. So here's another reason for that. I've started to memorize, Evelyn and I both. Ooh, that's not even a Z. Whatever. English was not my first language, nor my first subject. Best subject. It was the bad subject for me. But anyways, memorize the Word. Why? This week, I listened to Rebel News interview Pastor Arter from your province. He said what happened to him in the Calgary jail and the Edmonton jail, where I've been many times on prison ministry. He said they treated him like a terrible murderer. If I remember right, he had to sit on the cement and lie on the cement. He was very cold. He begged for a blanket. Finally, one guard gave a second blanket, which wasn't sufficient. He was still cold, but not as cold. He just wished and wished that he had a Bible to read, but they weren't giving him a Bible. He wished and wished that they'd bring him his reading glasses. They didn't. He said, I wished that I could have had any book, but he said they were trying to break me. You can look it up and hear it for your own ears. Where is this? In communist Russia, where they were doing bad stuff to my family? No, this is here in your province. So don't think that it can't happen to you. But remember to memorize the Word of God, because they can't take away what's in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Here's a very encouraging verse to me. Matthew 10 verse 28 says, don't fear him who can kill body and soul. I better read it right. I said it wrong. So I gotta have it right. Matthew 10:28. Says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell, which is the Lord. So the phrase in there that I like is this phrase. Don't fear them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. They cannot take away your soul. The Lord keeps that secure. Isn't that neat? So, in conclusion, I have an object lesson. We were in Saskatoon on this trip, and they had these pails for giveaway at this place where we were. So we took two pails. In Isaiah chapter 40, this even echoes. In Isaiah 40, let's go back to Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing? The Lord shall laugh and have them in derision. When man puts his fist in God's face, the Lord just laughs. And I think it's always that way whenever it says the Lord laughs in Scripture. It's not that he's having fun. It's that he's laughing at the puny attempts of man because they're just absolute puniness. So the Lord says in Isaiah 40, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. Gabriel, I need you. Is Gabriel here? No? Is he or not? Gabriel, can you hold the bucket? Thank you. So, what are we going to use for a drop? I take vitamin D since I got COVID in 2020. I take vitamin D and vitamin C. That's all I take. Someday I'll get one of those pill grids and have lots of pills to take, right, when I get old. But right now, it's vitamin D. So the Lord says, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. What did I put in there? A drop. And then you know what the Lord says? He says, the nations in that verse, and in about two verses later, he says, all the nations are as nothing. That would even include First Nations, right? I work with First Nations. But all the nations are as nothing. Could you tip that upside down and see how much comes out? There is nothing. All the nations are as nothing. And then if you read further in that chapter 40, it says that they are as less than nothing. And I thought, how can you have less than nothing? And then I remembered in school, we were taught about not just, you know, plus one and zero, but we were taught about minus one. That's less than nothing. Remember, God says, oh, thank you. You may sit down. All the nations are as nothing. So if you put NATO in here and the World Economic Forum in here and the communists in here and World Health Organization in here and all that, just remember, God said, they are as nothing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. You told us tribulation would be coming. In fact, you said much tribulation would be coming. And we see it at different centuries and millennia through the word of God. And since the Bible was completed in 95 AD, and Lord, we see all your principles are true. We see how your people responded with prayer, with singing, with remembering what you had done, memorizing your word, standing on your promises, and we can do the same. And so, Lord, we want our focus, when tribulation comes our way, that all we see is Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.